Greetings, curious minds. You're now tuned into the further adventures of Shortwave Kitsch. New stories, vintage vibes. If you enjoy what you hear and want to support the weird and wonderful, head over to swkradio.com. There you'll discover various ways to join our community and keep the transmissions alive. But don't worry, we'll remind you about that later. For now, let's tune in.
Brave listeners, with open arms and hearts full of love and laughter, turn the lights down, sit back, and relax. We'll all share the fun, frivolity, and a slew of other F-words. Leave your troubles at the door and forget all of your worries. For the next hour, you've discovered Shortwave Kitsch. So let's start tonight like we do every night. Let us lift our voices for you in song. The music of the night drifts from the airwaves right into your ears. Purveyors of tune and tone, take it away.
I kinda wanna, but shoulda, coulda, I don't know if I can right now. I know I kinda, but should I wanna, is this the best thing for me? How can I change it? Questions in my mind, I feel like it left behind. Coulda, shoulda, ain't you, can't you, won't someone help me out? You think I coulda, if I should wanna, who could tell me and lead the way? Ain't you wondering about that something? Can I get the solution to this? Partner, or should I solo? I wish these fears would go away. All these questions in my mind, I feel like it left behind. Coulda, shoulda, ain't you, can't you, won't someone help me out? Boo boo be doo, I'm just a simple girl, you know. Can I afford this? Cost me. I hope that I can pay for this. So am I pretty? And will they like me? These questions plague my brain. What is the meaning? Will I be worthy? Am I doing right or wrong? All these questions in my mind, I feel like it left behind. Coulda, shoulda, can't you want someone help me out? What was the question again? I can't remember. Silly me.
Around every turn, there may be malevolent marauders up to no good. But they'll always be subject to those living by the code of fidelity, bravery, integrity. But before we visit our trustees of truth, a brief word from our sponsors. Have you ever felt like you just can't get it right when it comes to dressing up for a special occasion? Well, that's where tonight's fairy tale begins. Once upon a time, in a small town, there lived a young woman named Lucy.
Honey, I'm off to work.
Wait, dear, you almost forgot your lunch.
Did I? How silly of me. Whatever would I do without you, sweetheart? But...
Yes?
Speaking of food...
Yes?
Don't forget, the boss is coming over for dinner.
How could I? I've already started prepping the pot roast. Also, the green beans have been snapped and the Brussels sprouts are ready for roasting.
It'll be perfect. I just know it. But... I worry.
Whatever do you worry about, dear?
Would you mind dressing for the occasion?
Oh, is my fashion sense not up to snuff?
Fashion sense? More like nonsense, I'd say.
Oh.
Well, you're beautiful, but not... If not, then... what is the use of using the fancy silver or the fine china? My promotion could be gone before I even have it in hand. Well, have a good day. I'm off to work.
Lucy was a kind-hearted and intelligent woman. But when it came to dressing up, she just couldn't seem to hit the mark.
I can't seem to hit the mark.
Lucy needed help.
I need help.
Whatever was she to do?
Whatever am I going to do? Isn't there someone out there to heed my call? Is there someone here in need? Why, who are you?
It's me, Lucy, your fairy godmother, Eucalypta Gristle.
Eucalypta? Eureka? Close. Eucalypta.
Oh, you got it.
Whew. Gristle? Like the bad part of a steak?
I can go if you're not loving my name. It's easy, twinkle in, twinkle out.
Please don't go. You must help me.
Okay, as long as we're on the same page. How can I be of service?
You're dressed in a gorgeous gown and carrying a fantabulous wand. You know what you're doing and how to flaunt your fashion.
When you're right, you're right.
Can you teach me how to be timelessly and effortlessly in vogue?
Don't worry, Lucy, my dear. I'm here to help you. Let's give you a makeover that will leave everyone speechless.
I don't know what to say.
Literally, the definition of speechless. So we're off to a good start. Simply close your eyes and let me work my magic.
I just close my eyes.
For such a talented housewife, you sure do struggle with basic instruction.
I'm ready.
Finally. With a flick of my wrist and a twinkle in my eye, alakazam!
As if by literal magic, Lucy's old clothes disappeared, and in their place appeared a beautiful gown that fit her perfectly. Her hair was styled elegantly, and her makeup was flawless.
Wow, I can't believe it. I look amazing.
No thanks necessary.
But...
You go out there and show that world how beautiful, strong, and confident you are. Wait, did you say but?
I did.
What's with the but, Lucy?
I love it. I truly do.
No one says but if they truly love something. There aren't any conjunctions needed in that scenario.
It's gorgeous.
I know. I have a standard for myself. I've met that standard. No! I've exceeded that standard. You'll excuse me if I don't seem to know what your problem with my work is.
Problems? No. Problems? There's no problems here, I promise. Besides, problems is a word that my husband uses far too frivolously. I would say that I might have a couple of notes, maybe.
Here we go.
What does that mean?
Humans always seem to know what's best.
I'm not saying anything of the sort.
No, of course you're not. Then what are these, shall we say, magical notes?
Well, we're having a cocktail hour right here at the house.
And?
And this is an evening gown.
And the cocktail party is happening during the evening. Am I wrong?
This is just this side of a ball gown. It's...
Spit it out, Lucy!
It's too fancy!
Too fancy? Says the woman who was wearing a tattered gingham dress earlier.
I like that dress.
You would.
Are you okay?
Everyone demands so much from me. Transform this, mutate that. Do you know what kind of pressure, literal pressure, this job puts on your back?
Sounds hard.
It is! You try reshaping a pumpkin into a carriage. It ain't easy, sister.
Are you hungry?
I could eat. What you thinking?
I was going to wrestle up some French toast.
Sounds good.
But,
What is it?
Well...
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. That gown isn't practical for the day-to-day chores, I suppose. Sorry.
That's what I was saying
earlier. I know, Lucy. I said I'm sorry. Jeez. You've got a tasteful cocktail dress in your closet. Polka dots.
Oh, thank you.
See? Was that so hard?
Remember, it's never too late to make a change and transform your life. But you don't need the help of a magical being from another realm. You only need the help of a doctor. Dr. Clutterbuck's Fantastic Fashions. Order from the catalog and everything will appear on your doorstep as if by magic. Please note that Dr. Clutterbuck is not a licensed medical practitioner, but he certainly knows how to dress up really well. And now we turn back to the hard-boiled case files of fidelity, bravery, integrity. When the call to protect America was made, one man answered the call.
And I'm just that man.
His name, Jack Finger.
That's what it says in my driver's license.
Once hired by J. Edgar Hoover himself, working days and nights for the FBI, Jack Finger was caught up in a web of lies, deceit, and intrigue.
And webs are nothing if not sticky.
Working at the right hand of Hoover, he was soon dismissed.
Disgraced.
Dejected.
Dishonored.
Discredited.
Shamed.
Not a word beginning with a D, Detective.
Give me a break. How many can there be?
Degraded and debased, Jack Finger was washed up and ended up in the city as little more than a beat cop.
You already said I was a detective.
But the job doesn't change the man. He was still faithful to the cause, courageous of character, and principled in his moral stance.
You got that right, disembodied voice.
Protecting America by beating the streets with his feet, he asked the question, who needs the FBI when you have fidelity, bravery, integrity? Tonight's case, Cash Me If You Can. When we last left our dauntless detective, he was awarded the Medal of Valor for protecting the mayor.
That's great news.
But he was quickly stripped of that same honor due to his bad attitude.
Stupid city.
And aggressive demeanor.
If I ever get my hands on that fella.
Did that stop our hero?
Yes.
No. Nothing could be put to bed his ever-vigilant desire for justice.
Crummy principles.
Jack Finger would never stop defending the streets of the city. Right now, he can be found in opposition with his beloved yet underappreciated precinct captain, Captain Edwin Dunkeld.
Jack, Jack, Jack.
Captain, Captain, Captain.
You're in for another one, eh?
Who are we talking about now?
You know darn well and good who I'm talking about, Finger.
I really don't know, Captain. It's been a rough week.
Sorry to hear that.
Are you?
You know I care about my men here. We're like family.
Are we?
You're testing my patience, Jack.
Am I?
Cut it out, Jack.
You didn't once call me when my girlfriend left me.
I had dinner with my kids. I thought you could use some alone time.
You didn't come by when my dog died.
That dog was ancient. I could have sworn it died a year and a half ago.
And you couldn't be bothered to write a telegram when my favorite Oriental place closed its doors. For good.
I don't know what to say, Jack, other than I'm sorry.
It's okay. Like I said, hard week.
Well, you're in luck. Because things are about to turn around.
It always feels that way, Captain. But I learned that it's always darkest in the middle of the night. That means that dawn is hours away. A lot of things can happen in just a matter of hours.
That's some outlook you got there, Jack.
Life lessons can teach you a lot.
I don't think that last one made any sense.
Things don't always make sense, believe you me, or my name isn't.
Jack Finger, meet your new partner, Emma. Emma Cox.
Captain Dunkeld has led Jack Finger to the bullpen to meet his new partner, knowing full well this news will hit Jack where it hurts.
You gotta be kidding me, Captain.
Let's not do this dance, Finger.
You're the one who's letting her cut in. My only question, are we doing a two-step or a foxtrot? Because I don't know how to jitterbug, and the ladies down at the ballet studio don't love me stretching out their tutus.
You're taking it too far, Finger.
She's the one taking it too far. Thinking that some two-bit dopey drip of a dud could come in here, smear her mug-bug stench all over the office. Ow! You slapped me!
I did. Did it hurt?
No, of course not, lady.
Well, then.
You sure it didn't hurt, Jack? Your face is turning red. Swelling up, even.
It didn't hurt. Hear me?
I'll try harder next time.
Maybe it stung a little.
Well.
If I'm being honest.
Then we're even.
Feel like we're going fishing off the port bow. Because that's some left hook you got there, missy.
Jack!
Didn't mean anything by it.
Care to shake on it?
I would, but I think that thing's still hot and smoking.
Fair enough.
Glad you two kissed and made up. Now, we need you on the beat. You ready to get this ball rolling?
In the history of the world, no one has been more ready than me to take on that same world. Show them what for, hear me?
People out in rural China heard you, Jack.
Same goes for me, Captain, except less pompous and blustering, more proper and respectful while still making sense.
See? We're both good to go. And you can take that one to the bank.
Funny you should say that.
Jack and Emma are dispatched to the city's first savings and loan to investigate a mystery surrounding the monies being held by the bank.
Why are we here?
We're here to investigate the mystery surrounding the monies held in bank.
That seems a little broad.
You're a detective, Finger, yeah? Use that little head of yours and detect.
Hit me where it hurts.
Certainly will if you can't keep up.
Wait, who's in charge here?
Emma walks to the front counter to inquire about just that thing.
Name's Detective Cox. This is my partner, Detective Finger.
Your partner?
Who's in charge here?
I am, clearly.
Jack!
It's Detective Finger.
Fine, Detective Finger. I'm asking this nice young lady who's in charge of the bank.
Great question. So, who is it, Mrs. Moore?
It's Miss, and our manager is Mr. Albert Green.
Where might we locate this Mr. Green, Miss Moore?
Yeah, where?
His office is right down that hall, third door on the left.
Thank you, Mrs. Moore.
It's Miss.
Thank you, Mrs. Miss.
Moore.
Nothing for now, but don't get too far. We might have a couple more questions for you.
Not one for the details, are you, Jack?
More of a big picture kind of guy, really.
You mind if I take the lead on this one?
You want it?
I do.
You think you can handle it?
I do.
Then it's yours.
The policeman pair arrive at the office of a one Mr. Albert Green.
Come in.
Albert Green?
That's me. Please, come in, come in.
Detective Cox, this is Detective Finger.
Detectives?
Yes.
What's this about?
Well...
I'll take this one, Cox.
Detective.
Yes, I am a detective. Good on you, Mr. Green.
Please, call me Albert.
Albert, yes. We're two men. It's just us guys here.
Hey!
And Emma here is taking notes. But let's ignore her for a second. Tell me, is there any funny business going on here?
The only funny business going on here is Harold, who works out there. Tells the most hilarious jokes to the customers he services. But, okay, don't tell him I told you. I think he might steal all of his material from Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest, that's too much. It's too good.
I know, right?
Mr. Green.
Please, Mr. Green's too formal. Again, call me Albert.
You'll excuse me, but this investigation is a formal affair.
Sheesh. Give a dame a badge and a little authority.
Imagine if you threw in a little respect.
I know. It would end the world as we know it.
I'll excuse your terse tone. What can I help you with, Mrs.?
Detective. Detective Cox.
Detective, of course.
There seems to be a surplus of money on hand here at the bank.
A surplus?
Yes, extra monies.
I'm aware of what a surplus is, ma'am.
Again. Detective.
We balance our drawers every evening. A few cents here and there, it isn't the end of the world.
This isn't pennies, Mr. Green. We're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
If you got a few hundred bucks on hand, can I get some? My landlady is always sniffing around my door. Where's the rent? You owe me money. How am I supposed to feed my kids? It's too much.
If I had that much cash in my pocket, I wouldn't be working here, that's for sure.
Are we sure there's not someone who works here with an agenda? Someone who might be up to, I don't know, no good?
That's simply impossible.
Impossible?
Yes. It means...
I know what it means, Mr. Green, but nothing is impossible.
I guess you're right. I'm someone who's seated across from a gal in a uniform.
Hard work rewards those who work hard.
I'll have that stitched on a sampler.
This is serious, Mr. Green.
No one takes this more seriously than I do. It's literally my business.
As fun as this has been.
You like theater, Mr. Green?
I don't see what that has to do with...
You like theater, Mr. Green?
The bank keeps me busy. I don't really have time. When I get home, I mostly read.
Then what I'm thinking still applies. Familiar with Shakespeare?
I am.
Then you know Hamlet.
Cox, I...
When Hamlet is assured by his dead father that his uncle killed him, Hamlet confronts his mother and his uncle, who is now married to his mother.
That's crazy. Also, where are you going with this?
You'll see. Hamlet sets up a trap to lure out his uncle. The play within a play?
I recall.
When he asks his mother what she thinks about the play, she says, "Methinks the lady doth protest too much. You've been grumbling and grousing a pretty good amount since we arrived. Sure, the niceties were wonderful, but then things took a turn, and now you're protesting a bit too much."
I'm afraid you're off on 2 points, officer. One, I'm not protesting at all. I'm simply saying that it seems quite unlikely that someone would be putting money into the bank in those amounts. Stealing, we've had people try in the past, but to add a surplus, it doesn't make sense.
If you say so.
You said 2 points. What's the second?
The original quote, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." People misquote it all the time. I won't hold it against you, ma'am.
Detective.
I'll tell you what. Let me go ask my tellers and clerks, see if I can't find out anything. Maybe they've heard or seen something strange.
We really appreciate that.
We're not done here.
We are for now, Detective Cox. And as I've said, we really appreciate your time.
Very good. I'll be back when I'm able. Detective Finger? Detective Coates?
Jack, what are you doing? He's obviously up to no good.
That's as clear as crystal.
So you let him leave?
I let him leave his desk with 2 highly intelligent and 1.5 capable detectives.
1.5?
You being a twist ain't doing you any favors, doll.
Gender? Really?
God did that to you, not me.
You can't do that.
Why?
It's not legal.
Tell that to the FBI.
Do I need to remind the FBI that it's not legal?
No. I worked for them for a good many years. They were great.
I know. You wouldn't shut up about it in the car on the way over.
We get the job done no matter how many people we had to go through just to get to the truth.
How very Machiavellian of you.
Not just me. Justice.
Justice is blind.
You're telling me. She also has a nasty right hook, ready to slug anybody who ain't on the straight and narrow. Aha!
Aha? What's this aha?
Wanna see a magic trick?
I'm not sure.
I'll ask again. Wanna see a magic trick?
Sure, Jack. Why not?
Ta-da!
Is it?
A stack of $100 bills.
This is a bank.
A bank, sure. But how many financial institutions erase the last 2 digits from the serial numbers?
Not many. Are we thinking...
counterfeit? Yeah, I'm thinking counterfeiting.
Sounds too big for one man to pull this off. Who else do you think might be involved?
Don't know. But let's do some detective work and find out. He can either talk before or after I give him a nose job. With my fists.
Not sure violence is called for. At least not yet.
That's to be determined. Did I tell you about the time we busted Al Capone and his counterfeiting ring?
Yeah, the car ride over. Too long.
Hey, you!
Yeah!
Where's Albert Green?
Mr. Green left a few minutes ago with Miss Moore.
Yeah, you said he couldn't do it alone, Cox.
And now we know who was helping him, Jack. Where did they go?
Beats me.
Well, you're no help at all.
Excuse me. I'm at work at a bank, not a map maker or whatever.
Just then, a car races by outside. Minnie and Albert are driving, attempting to make an escape.
That's them. Give me the keys. I'm driving.
You already have the keys. You drove here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's go.
The 2 gumshoes hop into their vehicle, and their tires squeal as they take off in pursuit.
No, that's fine. It's great. You bark a lot of questions at me and never say thank you or nothing. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Have a great day or whatever. Rude.
Tearing through the streets of the city, Jack and Emma are hot on the tracks of those scurrilous scoundrels who pumped ink into paper to build the banking system of bread.
Better hop on the radio and tell the chief we're giving chase.
Radio? What are you talking about, radio?
It's a two-way thing, a radio, to call the station. let them know what's happening?
What do you think we look like? Bayonne, New Jersey? Nah, hun. This ain't Dick Tracy with his fancy watch and whatnot. We do the work and then take out the trash.
Not a great metaphor.
Give me a break, I'm driving.
Meanwhile, in the corrupt crook's car...
Step on it, Bertie! Those flatfoots are hot on a tail!
I'm doing my best, babe!
Those palookas are gaining on us!
Where did you learn to talk like that?
Oh, I've been listening to the radio serials. Sam Spade, Ellery Quinn, Gangbusters. Like it?
Maybe read more poetry instead.
If we don't get out of this bad business and quick, we're gonna go belly up and head off to that hard-boiled Harlem sunset.
Who are you right now?
What do you want for nothing? I can't just shut it off like that.
The distance between us and them is growing, Jack.
To say that isn't to imply that I don't have eyes, Cox.
Any big ideas? Might want to use them now.
Might have one or more aces up my sleeve.
I think this jalopy has more juice than that copper's cab.
You're doing it, baby! You're doing it! I've never felt so alive!
Seatbelts!
Oh, you always know the right thing to say.
With the crafty culprits and out-accelerating them, Jack knows this might be his last chance to make a big move to stop these clever culprits.
Here, take the wheel.
Take the wheel? You asked to drive.
Yeah, well, now I'm asking you to take the wheel.
This sounds like a plan, care to share?
I'm gonna lean out the window and shoot out the tires.
What? Are you crazy?
If by crazy, you mean a crack shot and ready to get home to Waffles and my cat?
That in no way is what I mean.
Great to hear, because my cat's dead. And I don't know how to make waffles.
I've got the wheel. Do whatever it is you're gonna do.
And that's what Jack did. He fired three shots. The first.
Missed.
I know.
The second.
Missed again.
Yeah, I know. Are you gonna do this every mistake I make?
Wouldn't have to if you made fewer.
Yeah, well, I'm the one who's literally sticking his neck out here.
Are they shooting at us?
They ain't blowing kisses, babe.
Is that even legal?
As the man whose trunk is filled with counterfeit bills.
Fair point.
Jack aimed again, steeled his gaze, and... The third shot makes contact with the miscreant's tire, exploding it into oblivion. The car, screeching to a halt, and crashing into a nearby building.
Was that all part of the plan?
Not at all. The building, just a happy accident.
Upon impact... The mountain of mock moolah erupts from the back of the couple of Khan's car.
Well, would you look at that? It's raining greenbacks.
In the mayhem that follows, our law-loving sleuths track down our culpable con men.
Minnie, stop running. You know how this ends.
It wasn't me, I tell you. It was a honey trap that Albie set. He was manipulating me from the jump like a marionette, a puppet.
Oh, really?
Really, or...
You'll never take me alive.
Watch out for that. Ah! Fire hydrant. I was saying, watch out for that fire hydrant. She can't hear me now. She's out cold.
Albert Green, you broke the law. You're coming with me.
Jack, listen, we can work this out. I'll pass you a few clams. All you gotta do is look the other way.
You think you can buy me?
You're a stand-up guy, but you're just that, a guy. You're not like that kooky broad. We can work this out.
She's not a broad, buddy.
Fine, that lady, girl, whatever her name is.
Her name is Detective Cox, sucker.
Jack, you got him.
Yeah, but I should have said the funny thing and then punched him out.
There's always room for growth.
Now you're talking like a skirt again. And that I cannot abide.
There's the Jack I know and love? No, that's not the word. Appreciate? Oh, that's not it either.
Let's cuff these degenerates and get back to the precinct. The captain's waiting.
Tolerate? That seems closer.
Come on, the captain's waiting.
With the wicked wrongdoers shackled and caged for their crimes, Detectives Cox and Finger fill in Chief Dunkle on the finer points of the case.
They had a printing press?
In an unsavory motel.
On the wrong side of the tracks.
They probably used the bunk banknotes to pay for their stay.
Diabolical.
Great work, Jack.
Hey!
Captain, I gotta give credit to where credit's due.
Yeah?
Cox here asked a lot of questions.
Yeah?
A lot of complex and probing questions.
Yeah!
Without that frustrating nonsense, I might not have had the distraction to do the best detective work this side of paradise.
You've got to be kidding me.
A good detective never kids, Cox.
You guys make a good couple. A pair. A couple of pairs. That's either the number four or a group of fruits.
We make a good team, yeah, Captain?
Well said, Jack.
Now, I'm going to take a beat from the beat and grab some grub.
Thinking about waffles, Jack?
When I'm not thinking about my parish pussycat or my shrew of an ex-wife, I'm thinking about waffles. You know how to make them?
Like most things in my life, I have a machine that helps me.
Funny story. My dead cat, his name is Waffles.
Where evil lurks and ne'er-do-wells practice their wickedness, Jack Finger will always be there to slap on the cuffs. But as for tonight's story,
case closed.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of our broadcast day, but we can't leave you without a song. It's so hard to say goodbye. We just all smile and sigh. And we all sing.
Until next time, the laughter, the tears, the anger, the fears, we come together.
And so for now we say,
until next time, we love you.
Until next time, we'll be waiting here on the dial just for you. Good night.
Shortwave Kitsch is a Hat on a Hat production, produced with love and curiosity by Kristen Granite, Maddie Casto-Kobler, Brooke Rash, and Brandon L. Joyner. You can catch our broadcast on popular platforms like Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you find your podcasts. And as we close this chapter, we invite you to stay connected. Maybe you want to see us perform live. We hope that you'll even consider supporting us. Find out how to do this and so much more at swkradio.com. There, you can dig into bonus content, engage in lively discussions, and discover how you can play an active role in shaping the content that you love. For those looking to dive even deeper, check out our Patreon for exclusive behind-the-scenes access and perks. And of course, a heartfelt thank you to our listeners. You make all this possible. Subscribe, support, and stay tuned for more tales from Shortwave Kitsch. Until next time, take care.